By 2025, Mark Zuckerberg stood at a crossroads that felt strangely familiar. 2 decades before, he'd sat in a confined dorm room rendering a social network for council scholars. Now, he was running a company that gauged mainlands, managed more data than utmost governments, and had GoA's entire future on a single vision, the metaverse. It was not just a product presently. It was an idea, a way to review mortal presence in the digital world. But it was also parlous, precious, and deeply Ms. New. The rebranding to Meta in 2021 had stunned the world. For times, Facebook had been synonymous with social networking. Now, the company was transubstantiating into Commodity Boulder, an ecosystem where physical and virtual realities would combine. Mark called it the coming elaboration of social connection. Investors called it an adventure that could break the bank. Both were right. The early phase was brutal. Meta poured knockouts of billions into virtual reality, VR, and stoked reality, AR, technologies. Tackle prototypes piled up inside uncommunicative labs. Masterminds worked on eye-tracking detectors, featherlight headsets, and haptic feedback systems designed to make digital worlds feel palpable. The Meta Quest line came the foundation of this dream. The Quest 2 had vended millions, but mass relinquishment remained fugitive. Utmost people were ent ready to live in headsets. Mark knew that. Still, he saw beyond the short-term struggles. This is ent about widgets, he told his leadership platoon. It's about contriving the coming internet. Inside Meta, not everyone participated as conviction. Some directors wanted to double down on artificial intelligence or strengthen the companies being platforms. The metaverse felt too abstract, too precious, too far down. But Mark, as always, played the long game. He wasn't chasing daily gains. He was chasing heritage. The vision was vast digital metropolises where people could work, learn, and fraternize, in corporations that image emotion and stir, husbandry powered by digital goods and decentralized currencies. He called it Horizon Worlds, Meta's flagship virtual platform. In its early days, it was cumbrous, in corporations without legs, awkward movement, limited creativity. Critics mocked it relentlessly. Memes swamped the internet. Mark didn't blench. He'd been scouted ahead. Facebook itself had formally been dismissed as a council style. He reminded his platoon, "Every advance looks ridiculous at first. We're not erecting for moment. We're erecting for what comes later." Still, reality hit hard. The metaverse burned cash briskly than anticipated. By 2023, Meta's Reality Labs division had lost over $40 billion. Investors shocked. Stock prices fell. Judges called for cuts. Mark responded with layoffs. The hardest decision of his career. Thousands of workers were let go. He called it a time of effectiveness. It wasn't just a cost-cutting move. It was a reckoning. For times, Meta had operated like an incipiency inside a mammoth's body. Endless trial, endless growth. But the world had changed. The tech assiduity was growing. Competition was fierce, and public tolerance for moonshots was thin. Mark had to prove that his metaverse was not a fantasy, that it could come the coming great computing platform. Intimately, however, he scuffled with mistrustfulness. He'd erected his career on connection through defenses, but the metaverse aimed for commodity more intimate, connection inside them. Could humanity handle that? Would it make people more alive, or further insulated? He was ent eyeless to the irony. The same technology meant to unite the world had, at times, divided it. Now he was asking society to trust him again, to step deeper into a world he was designing. In 2024, he took a different approach. He began talking less like a CEO and more like a builder again. He hosted live demonstrations of mixed reality, blending digital overlays with physical surroundings. He showed how surgeons could exercise complex operations in 3D space, how engineers could sketch entire structure skyline, and how preceptors could bring history to life through immersive assignments. This was the metaverse at its most meaningful, not performance, but commission. "We do not want people to live in virtual worlds," Mark said in a keynote. "We want them to use them to live more in the real bone." At home, Priscilla kept him predicated. She'd seen the risk the company took on him, the insomniac nights, the public scrutiny, the constant balancing act between ambition and ethics. Their exchanges had shifted over the times, from spanning platforms to raising daughters, from law to heritage. She reminded him that greatness wasn't just about invention. It was about intention. So Mark began redefining what success meant. The early dream of connecting the world had come true, but at a cost. The coming dream, erecting the coming world, had to do better. By mid-2025, Meta's Exploration Labs unveiled new improvements in AI-driven incorporations. Faces that blinked, smiled, and expressed emotion nearly indistinguishably from their real-world counterparts. Paired with AR spectacles codenamed Orion, they suggested a future where technology faded into life itself. This wasn't just the internet in 3D. It was a reinvention of mortal presence. And Mark believed it would change everything, from work to fellowship to art. The press called it audacious. Some called it dystopian. But Zuckerberg, ever the contrarian, smiled. "People said the same thing about social networks," he told them. "Now, they say I ain't live without them." What no one could deny was that Mark had formally again placed himself ahead of his time. The question was not whether the metaverse would live. It was whether Meta would enjoy it. By mid-2025, Meta was no longer just a company. It was a laboratory for the future. Masterminds, contrivers, and experimenters from every corner of the world worked on systems that blurred the line between imagination and reality. Inside Meta's reality labs, the atmosphere was electric and grim. Every day, hundreds of trials tested how far mortal experience could stretch before it felt unnatural. Mark Zuckerberg moved through those labs with quiet intensity. He was rendering presently. Those days were long gone, but his energy still carried the same restless drive. His focus had shifted from writing law to shaping ecosystems. "The work we do then," he frequently said, "will define how people witness reality itself." Yet beneath the sanguinity, pressure coddled. Meta's metaverse vision had reached a point where it was both astonishing and exhausting. On one side, there were improvised ultra-realistic incorporations, tactile gloves that dissembled touch, and AR spectacles able projecting digital information onto the world without a screen. On the other, there were brutal questions about cost, relinquishment, and ethics. Critics indicted Zuckerberg of chasing a dream no bone had asked for. They refocused out the billions lost, the layoffs, the still-small stoner base of Horizon Worlds. Some said he'd come disconnected from the real world. "He'd structure a new macrocosm," one columnist wrote, "because the old one no longer want him in charge." Mark read every word, though he infrequently responded. He understood dubitation better than anyone. He'd lived through it ahead. The world had mocked Facebook, misdoubted Instagram, dismissed WhatsApp. But he also knew that timing was everything. "Every revolution," he told his elderly staff, "looks like a mistake until it works." To undergird the company, he did commodity unanticipated. He opened the doors. In 2025, Meta launched Creator Labs, a program designed to give independent inventors access to Meta's metaverse tools. Rather than keeping control centralized, Mark invited outlanders to make their own worlds inside Horizon, to produce art, games, and communities powered by Meta's technology. It was a pivot from control to collaboration, a move that made investors nervous, but generators rapturous. The adventure worked. Within months, new digital metropolises, classrooms, and social capitals popped up across the metaverse. Artists held virtual musicales that drew millions of observers. Scholars explored literal recreations of Rome, Egypt, and ancient China with naturalistic delicacy. Therapists used immersive surroundings to treat trauma and anxiety. Sluggishly, the abstract came palpable. Mark watched it all unfold from Meta's lot, now redesigned around openness and trial. Walls were covered in sketches, 3D renders, and models of possible futures. It felt like Silicon Valley in its high again, creative chaos with a moral undertone. Still, he couldn't ignore the darker side. For every invention, there were new challenges: digital dependence, sequestration enterprises, the blurring of identity. Meta's AI systems covered dangerous content inside Horizon, but virtual spaces made temperance exponentially harder. Scammers, mockers, and revolutionist groups set up new ways to exploit the technology. Mark had seen this before, on Facebook, on Instagram, and it visited him. He gathered his leadership platoon one night in the company's VR theater, everyone represented by incorporations, floating in a digital replica of Earth. However, he said, also none of this matters. If we say and make this safe, the metaverse doesn't need to be measureless. It needs to be humane. The room went silent. Those who followed him for times knew that tone. It was the same quiet conviction he'd carry we refused to vend Facebook two decades before. In response, Meta doubled down on ethical AI. A new division, AI Governance and Reality Safety, was formed to oversee jest, sequestration, and fairness within immersive surroundings. Unlike the early days of Facebook, this time Mark wanted rules in place before chaos began. His approach to leadership evolved too. Once fiercely private, he now spoke openly about failure. In an interview that time, he said, if we're going to make a new subcast a reality, it has to come from modesty, not arrogance. We've made miscalculations ahead. The only failure would be not learning from them. That modesty reverberated inside Meta's walls. Workers began to describe the company as growing without decelerating down. The hacker morality was still there, but now it was guided by reflection rather than rebellion. Meanwhile, technology itself was catching up to Mark's imagination. Meta's cooperation with semiconductor companies led to Featherlight AR spectacles, satiny, swish, able of displaying navigation, restatement, and messaging overlays directly onto reality. For the first time, the metaverse was no longer confined to headsets or defenses. It had stepped into everyday life. A intelligencer who tested the early prototypes wrote, you do enter the metaverse presently. You live with it. For Mark, that judgment captured the entire charge. The dream was in performance. It was integration. He didn't want people to vanish into digital worlds. He wanted technology to dissolve into the background of diurnal life, still expanding what was possible. But success brought back the familiar chorus of critics. Sequestration lawyers advised that AR spectacles could record everything you see. Governments demanded translucency on data collection. Challengers like Apple and Google contended to release their own mixed reality bias. It was a new kind of war, the reality war, and Mark knew that the winner would not just control a product, but the coming interface of mortal experience. He was naive. He'd seen how invention could come domination, how connection could turn into control. This time, he was determined to do it else. We see and enjoy the future, he told his board. We can only make it responsibly and hope people trust us enough to join. By the end of 2025, Meta's identity had converted fully. It was no longer the company of likes and shares. It was the company of presence and absorption. And Mark, after times of being blackened, began to look like commodity rarer survivor, not the tech sensation who changed the world overnight, but the author who refused to stop evolving. He was still driven, still grim, but his purpose had strengthened. He was then trying to prove he was right presently. He was trying to make sure what he'd erected could endure without him. By late 2025, Mark Zuckerberg had stopped chasing captions. The boy who formerly wanted to move presto and break effects now moved designedly, apprehensive that every shift he made transferred Tumblrs through the world. Meta was no longer just a company. It had become the foundation of an ecosystem stretching across virtual reality, artificial intelligence, and real world structure. But Mark was allowing about commodity differently now time. He frequently said in interviews, the coming 20 times of my life will ain't be about growth. They'll be about making what we erected worth it. That shift from expansion to abidance was ain't just maturity. It was survival. The metaverse dream had survived storms. The technology was perfecting. Public curiosity was returning. And for the first time, Meta's long-term adventure sounded to be stabilizing. But Mark understood that the topmost trouble was ain't competition was meaning. Technology had come so important, so integrated with mortal life, that its moral direction signified further than its invention. That consummation changed how he led. Rather just erecting for druggies, he began erecting for builders. He launched programs inside Meta to tutor youthful entrepreneurs, coders, and generators working on problems that went beyond profit, climate wisdom, global education, sustainable energy, ethical AI. However, he told them, let's connect people to purpose, if we're going to connect the world. He spent lower time on stage and further time in small apartments meeting experimenters, scholars, and incipiency authors who reminded him of himself at 19, restless, certain, romantic. They came from every mainland, carrying ideas that made his early vision of Facebook look simple. And he heeded authentically. Priscilla saw the difference in him. Their daughters were growing presto, asking harder questions about what their father did and why it signified. Mark tried to answer, actually. "We help people talk to each other," he told them formally. "But we're still figuring out how to make that good for everyone." It was the kind of answer he would then have given 10 times before. Back also, he would have called it progress. Now, he called it responsibility. That responsibility stretched far beyond the metaverse. Meta's AI enterprise had exploded in influence. Its open-source large language models came essential structure for inventors worldwide. The irony wasn't lost on him. After decades of being indicted of polarizing control, he was now leading the charge toward openness. He called it the alternate surge of connection, not people connected to platforms, but knowledge connected to humanity. By 2026, Meta AI had come one of the world's largest contributors to open exploration in artificial intelligence. Universities and independent labs worked hand in hand with Meta's masterminds. Mark spoke about it with the same passion he formerly had for the Facebook.com. AI is like the early internet, he said in one interview. The further people who can make with it, the more balanced the future will be. But the world still carried scars from Facebook's early times. Sequestration dishonors, misinformation, the corrosion of trust. Mark couldn't abolish them. So, rather, he made them his warning. During a domicile talk at Stanford, he told a room of youthful inventors, "We allowed connection would automatically produce understanding. We were wrong. Connection without empathy just amplifies noise. The coming generation has to do better than we did." That speech went viral, not because of what he said, but because of how he said it. Calm, measured, honest. It was the first time Numer saw Zuckerberg not as a billionaire or a CEO, but as a man who had been lowered by his own invention. In private, he began writing a collection of essays about leadership, technology, and the nature of mortal progress. It wasn't meant for publication, at least not yet. It was part remedy, part gospel, a way to make sense of the life that had unfolded briskly than he could reuse. He wrote about the loneliness of leadership, the peril of certainty, and the incongruity of control. One line stood out among his notes. "You say and decode morality. You can only cultivate it." Meanwhile, Meta continued to grow, but else. Gone were the reckless expansions and controversial accessions. The company came steadier, more regular, indeed admired again. Governments that formerly treated Zuckerberg as a commercial villain now sought his input on digital ethics, online safety, and AI regulation. He didn't take palm stages. He didn't tweet triumphs. He just kept working. In the gloamings, he'd walked the Meta lot, now incompletely open to the public as a tech gallery and literacy center. Scholars could visit shows showing the history of connection, from Moore's Law to the Metaverse. Mark would sometimes wander among them, uncelebrated, hearkening to how they talk about technology, not with cynicism, but curiosity. That gave him hope. The verity was, he'd stopped trying to win the news cycle times gone. His fight was bigger now to make sure the tools he helped unleash could still serve the people who used them. By 2027, his public appearances grew rare. Rumors spread that he might one day step back as CEO, fastening solely on philanthropy through the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, which by also had come with the world's most ambitious foundations in health and education. He no way verified it, but he didn't deny it moreover. When asked in one interview what he wanted his heritage to be, he broke for a long time and said, "I do want it to be about Facebook, or Meta. I want it to be about the idea that connection, when done right, can make humanity more. Everything additional is just noise." That line captured everything. The trip from a dorm room to a digital conglomerate, from a revolutionary coder to a champion of technology.